Anyway, Barack Obama has defeated Hillary Clinton in a stunning upset, the likes of which hasn't been seen since the undefeated New England Patriots. No, we got to go back further than that. How about not since King Philip II of Spain sent the Spanish Army. All right, not that big. Okay, so what I'm saying is somewhere in between the New England Patriots and the Spanish Armada, we can begin
is
to
this moment in
contextualize
history. Okay.
This upset. Yes. Luckily, we have a pretty exciting matchup in the general election and a pretty smart guest to help us dissect it all. Politico.com's editor-in-chief John Harris joins us. Hello, John.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a long campaign.
I know. Aren't you so excited, John? We can just kind of move forward.
I finally cut my grass. I've let it go, I'm afraid.
Don't worry. A guy from Columbus, Ohio. Oh, sorry, Canton, Ohio will come by to do it for you, apparently. let me ask you this. Playing out the string these last few weeks when it seemed like the writing was very much on the wall, did Hillary Clinton gain anything from that?
Look, I think she does gain something, not just these last few weeks, but really the last few months. Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious what the trajectory of this race. But there's no question that Obama is a winner with real and demonstrated weaknesses. And Hillary Clinton, coming as close as she did, is really one of the strongest losers that we've seen in quite some time. Now, that doesn't get you much, but it's clear she's kind of experimenting. She's going to find out how much it does get her. We don't know what she wants. You know, she raised the question last night in her speech, didn't answer it. What does Hillary want?
That's what all men
she
are
wants
thinking,
something,
yes.
Because she's not just going to acknowledge, hey, he's won. She's going to say, hey, I'm going to sit on this. There's reports that she wants a meeting with Obama. You know, she feels she's bringing something to the table. It's not clear what she can extract at that table.
You know, you mentioned that she exposed some of Obama's real flaws. Are those – so is it the sort of thing where those will be wounds that he'll just bleed from, or does she do him a favor by exposing his weakness with, say, white male voters or in Appalachia or in big swing states? Can he now address those things?
You know, good question. You could be a political reporter or an editor even. You know, that's one of the big questions that we're going to be waiting on events to answer for the next 5 months. It seems to me that she didn't create the weakness by exposing it, but by exposing it repeatedly over these past few months, where it's been clear that Obama is the likely and after a while certain nominee, yet he continues to lose races very big. The question it really raises is, what is his political map? If he can't win some of the voters that she was winning overwhelmingly in the fall, that takes some states that have historically been swing states, West Virginia, for instance, possibly even the big one, Ohio, may take them off his map. And the question is, where does he go elsewhere to make up for that? Now, he runs a lot stronger in the Mountain West, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico. Could he put those states in play for a Democrat in ways that most Democrats don't? It's a different map for Obama, in part because we see he's a very different candidate.
Now, asking what the biggest factor was in Barack Obama's defeat of Hillary Clinton is like asking what's the strongest flavor in gumbo. I know it's, or, what's the most prominent type of animal hair in a hot dog. But, you got personality of the two candidates. You have policy, and you just have the environment, the background that they were running against. What do you think, if you had to name one, what do you think was least favorable to Hillary and most favorable to Barack Obama?
Well, most favorable by far is the fact that these voters, obviously want change, and this is a change election, and she got in this very unfortunate position where she was representing the status quo. But before you say, look, our politics has been totally transformed, you got to focus on what really changed in this election versus the elections that Bill Clinton won and allowed him to dominate the politics of the 1990s. You took a group that was never crazy about the Clintons. These are the so-called goo-goos, the good government types, the sort of reform-minded, educated Democrats who in 1968 would have been for Eugene McCarthy, in 84 were for Gary Hart. In 92, they thought the Clintons were sleazy and were for Paul Tsongas. These are the Bill Bradley voters in 2000. These people never much liked the Clintons. They went big for Obama. And then a group that always liked the Clintons and were always their saviors, that's African-Americans, of course. Once Barack Obama showed that he could win among white voters and that he was a serious candidate, not a novelty candidate, but somebody with a real claim on the White House, blacks went for him 90%. It was very, very hard for Senator Clinton to overcome that arithmetic when you put those two groups together, blacks and goo-goos.
Yeah.
That's who gave the nomination.
You know, as you listed off, Eugene McCarthy, Paul Tsongas, Bradley, I couldn't help but noticing a commonality between all those guys.
It's true.
Not winners.
We're presidents of the United States. Well, you could say maybe look at Jimmy Carter had a coalition similar to that, and he did win once in 1976.
Right. You know, you mentioned Bill Clinton. Does he ever recover his exalted status within the Democratic Party?
Well, I don't know. It sure has been roughed up. And a lot of the wounds, you know, we have to say, obviously, were self-inflicted. You know, we've been discussing, like, around the office, is there something wrong with Bill Clinton? That's the question Todd Purdom raised in his Vanity Fair piece the other day.
Yes, and he got called a number of names for it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. In any event, was it Clinton off his game? And I've been saying, actually, and I've covered Bill Clinton a long time, he wasn't off his game. He was classically on his game. Bill Clinton's always been an undisciplined politician. He's always been somebody that's sort of popping off at impolitic moments. It's just that the price for doing that this year was much, much higher.
It's the guy he was criticizing is someone that Democrats, most Democrats, as the votes show, liked. If he's doing that thing with...
They want to feel good about
it. Right. If he's doing that thing with Newt Gingrich, you love the guy. If he's saying that stuff about Barack Obama, you say, what the heck's wrong with Bill Clinton?
Right. And many, many Democrats, even most of them probably, you know, somewhat favorably inclined toward Bill Clinton, like quite clearly were saying, like, all right, you know, like this is the guy with the lampshade at the party. You know, he's been around too long.
You know, I saw John McCain on the TV last night, and one of his main points was they keep saying I'm going to be the third Bush administration. It's going to be a third term of the Bush administration. That line's going to get old by November. Well, what do you think? I mean, is it going to get old? Or in 5 months from now, will voters go to the polls saying, I don't know about this McCain. It could be another term of the Bush administration.
Well, on the biggest policy of the Bush administration, which is Iraq, you know, it is continuity, though. John McCain can't get around that. You know, he's basically based his candidacy on the fact that even though voters don't like the Iraq war, they look to him as somebody who can end it successfully with a victory rather than defeat, who represents strength. So you know, even though John McCain, it must, you know, it obviously grates on him. He can't stand Bush personally, hasn't been able to for a long time. Basically, is inheriting his political legacy. It's not a great hand to play in a general election.
And finally, John, very quickly, you got into covering politics for a reason. Did you love this race, or was it like a sumptuous meal that went on for a few too many courses?
Do those two have to be mutually exclusive?
No, I mean, how much did you like it? Did you really enjoy covering
it?
Yeah,
no. I glutted myself at the buffet. All you can eat, and I probably overdid it.
John Harris, editor-in-chief of Politico.com. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, see ya.
Thanks, bye. John. Coming up next on the BPP, a new study explores the phenomenon of having something on the tip of your tongue. You just can't quite grab it. That's coming up next on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.